Alrighty. So what made you want to become a rabbi in the first place?
A lot, I would say, had to do with my grandparents and their love of being Jewish. And their real pride in being Jewish. They loved Israel. Everywhere they went, they would find the last Jew in the town. And so it was really them who planted the seed, not so much of being the rabbi, but of loving being Jewish. And then in terms of being the rabbi, or being a rabbi, it was really that I felt there was so much more I needed to learn. And once I learned it, I felt I should teach it. Mm. And that's what rabbi means, to teach.
Ah. Did your parents support you through that?
They did. Yeah, they were very excited. I mean, I think they would have been cool with me doing whatever, but they were excited, and it was tough because there was a lot of school, and it was pretty hard work to learn so many different types of Hebrew and types of text, and I didn't really grow up with so much like Jewish literacy per se. So there was a steep learning curve for me. Mm-hmm. And school, it's a 5 or 6 year program, and I actually did 7 years.
Wow.
So it took a long time post college. So
yeah. Oh, you went to college first and then did 7 more years after that.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you study in college?
I studied international politics and human rights and Rastafarianism.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Yeah.
What was rabbinical school like, especially being a woman in rabbinical school?
I went to a pretty progressive school. It's called Hebrew College in Boston, and it's a pluralistic seminary. And so we had really interesting groups of, I was the second ordained class. So it was really starting up there. And so there was modern Orthodox women and conservative women and totally unidentified denominationally people. And me, who had kind of been all over the map, both like born in the Reform community, but then really fell in love with learning in a modern Orthodox setting. So I was like, it's definitely a pluralistic trans-denominational setting. So I didn't find it such a uniqueness, because our school was kind of half and half. It's more been, frankly, being a rabbi out in the congregational world that I realize how much further we have to go, because there's so many ways that jobs and synagogues are built around like different versions of rabbis than today. Mm-hmm. And also Jews are different today, I think, than they used to be. I think people look for different types of not just authority, but discovery and creativity and integration, you know, with not just like their minds. They're not just looking for you to give them an answer. They want to be part of the discovery of it. Mm-hmm. So I think there's different like feminine qualities that men can have too, that I feel like are only now, you know, rising up in terms of being heard and kind of leading conversation. So that's what I'm encouraged by, and mm-hmm. and it's still hard. There's still kind of a mold of, you know, a 60-year-old rabbi with a beard. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that you specifically bring to being a rabbi as a woman?
Such a beautiful question. Mara, your timing is so powerful, because I just spent like 2 hours trying to, I'll probably cry, I was trying to record this video for Facebook for Simone, and the sound didn't work, and then the sound, anyway, so it's like, I actually feel like my voice was just like muted. So for you to ask me these questions is very healing, so thank you.
Good.
Yeah. And just to see your sweet face, oh my goodness. Really good. What do I bring? A lot of heart. Don't include all of
Oh
his
no, that's
emotions.
okay.
I think a real I'm a justice seeker. I think I was just fighting all morning for this connection with the Religious Action Center that our leadership has other opinions about. And I think we're living in times that really call us to be not just teachers, but leaders and prophets and activists. And to build safe spaces, and it really, I was we have these booklets in our lobby, and there's like, handling divorce and interfaith. And I was like, why is there not one on trans issues? And why is there not one on dementia? And, there should be, more on just like the, we need more, we need people like you to come back and like shake the system, and not just, shake it outside of the institutions, but shake it within the institutions. I think, you've known this place longer than I have, but it's 150 years old, and the kind of they've never had a woman senior rabbi here. I think we've had a senior woman president, but it'll be really interesting to see, Rabbi Burke's retiring in a bit more than a year, and what happens, and what the congregation is like looking for, and whose voice, like literally whose voice on like the decimal system they want to hear, and what they want that person to wear, and like, does that person need to be married and have a kid? Or, I mean, it's just the layer. We talked, like we had conversations in rabbinical school about like, should you wear lipstick or not when giving a sermon? Because then, as a woman, people notice your lips more. And yet, if you don't, then they'll say, why isn't she wearing lipstick? It's so distracting that she's not. But then if you do, they're saying, I don't really like that color. Why is she wearing that color? It's too sexual. It's too feminine.
That's
So,
crazy that you're
yeah.
focusing on those little things instead of like what really matters and like what you're actually going to be doing as a rabbi.
Yeah, I mean that was a tiny conversation, but what I now see looking back is, oh boy, it matters, and yet, different people seek me out than seek other rabbis out. And I'm doing Shabbat yoga tomorrow night for our young adult community, which I wish you were still here to be a
Oh,
part
yeah,
of.
me
And
too.
different ways of using music all the time with people, because it's so important, and not seeing the distinction between, rabbi and cantor, but really seeing prayer as prayer for everybody. So, I think I both bring things as a woman, but also just because of who I am and kind of my own heart, and what's worked for me too. I think I try to rabbi out of the experiences that made a difference to me. So I have like essential oils in my office, and the kids get to like pick which oil they want to learn, to like write their Dvar Torah while smelling, and they're into it. But
That's
that's,
good.
who knows?
What do you think? What is your relationship with God, and specifically as God typically being seen as like a big male guy in the sky with a beard? What is your relationship with God?
my gosh. I wish I would have been recording this whole convert. Well, oh, you have
I
it.
Am,
Oh,
yeah.
that's good. Okay, good. Maybe you can send it to me because I feel
Yeah.
like I want to hear what both of us would say like a week from now and 10 years from now, you know, because particularly that it's an ongoing conversation that I feel like I get to have with spirit and with mystery. Like, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the dude in the sky with the beard or whatever. But I do sense like spirit and presence and holiness and something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to lean back into it. Like a big image for me that I often go to is our hands, like to feel that I'm in God's hands, not the anthropomorphic sense, but that there is some ground, some holding, some like a talit, you know, some embrace. That's where I go.
Mm-hmm. I read in that book, God is a Verb, about
yeah.
like the feminine energy of God and like Shekhinah and
yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, language is for better or for worse gendered. So Shekhinah mm-hmm. is a feminine term, but the concept of that indwelling presence, I definitely resonate with that in the sense that, like God is in us and we are in God.
Mm-hmm.
And almost the, you know, whether it's the God in the chair in the sky or God as anything, that is in some way a false God, because there is no separation between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we breathe, we kol ha-neshama tehalel yah, like every neshama, every breath is a resouling of ourselves, mm-hmm. is a praise to God. But God isn't separate from us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can only do that when we're alive, because God lives through us.
Mm-hmm.
We live through God. So it's like a mind trip, you know, in some ways. Or like a hologram, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you could look at one pixel and study it, and then you can zoom out and see how it's part of the bigger.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What is the best part, and conversely, the worst part in the struggles of being a woman as a rabbi?
I mean, the best part is, I think, connected to your last question of just, I get to be this expression of God in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have much to do with it other than coming out, you know, this way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there is a way in which I, it's been one of those days,
mm-hmm.
That I do feel that there is like a unique expression of God through the feminine, through women. I think there's a deeper listening. And again, men can have that too, but it is a feminine element,
mm-hmm.
that deeper listening. And like I'm looking at behind you, your yin-yang, you know, there is
oh,
a way
yeah.
of, I think the feminine naturally creates space. And like nestles, you know, into space. So there's kind of a deeply intuitive sense of how I like move through the work. Particularly, I notice it most when I'm teaching. I feel like there's a receptivity towards the encounter that is very feminine. There's like a creation within, you know, not necessarily knowing, but discovering and I don't know, like a listening for.
One last, did you experience any sexism or discrimination in your whole process of rabbiness?
Rabbiness. I love that. You know, that book, God is a Verb. I also think rabbi is a verb. You know, it's both the rabbi-ness, but it's rabbi-ing. Like, that's what I try to do. I don't really try to be. I try to rabbi. And, so discrimination, I mean, it's a constant, I feel like, I don't know, you know, the first Reform rabbi was ordained in 1972. So in some ways that was like lifetimes ago. And in other ways that was like yesterday.
Right.
And it's not so many generations. Like, it's only now that those rabbis are just like retiring or making room for the rabbis who weren't the first. So it's like when you think about also, you know, we wandered 40 years in the desert because literally God wanted two generations to die out so that people who would enter the land had never known slavery. And I think there's something about, you know, Lahavdil, total distinction between, you know, it's not like I've been enslaved by any of this, but there is a way in which it will continue to take a few more generations for there to be a more integrated woman rabbi experience. I don't think we're anything close to integration or even mainstreaming. It's still not mainstream, particularly in large congregations. It's just not, it's not the mode in schools. It's almost like it's a bit of a tease because you're like, you look around and you're like, oh, we're half of everybody here. Except now there's at my school there were trans and, you know, gender fluid and all of this, so it's not even 50-50. It's like there's, and those layers are going to take even longer, you know, if they even are ever mainstreamed. But the feminine, you know, and especially like you said, in terms of God language, it's like a daily project to just ask people, when you say he for God, do you think God is a he? Because there's so much default built in linguistically and then visually that it'll be a while. We got a long way to go, and you're on the team, you know, just if you're interested in this and have the questions and coming to it, you know, from also from your experience of having sat here in the synagogue and led tefillot here and, you know, had people look at you and what you're doing and how you sound and, you know, what you look like. And I mean, it's just on and on.
Do you have any last thoughts about anything that we've talked about, anything you want to get out?
Oh, just gratitude for you and like your radiance and for your questions and your questing. And I feel so blessed that you were like, I'm going to call her. So darn cool.
I appreciate that. I really look up to you, and the congregation that I have been kind of taken under their wing here in Salem doesn't have any women rabbis. And I think that I'd rather talk to someone that I know anyways. So wow. I'm so blessed that I live in a
Which are time. You are you my friend Boris, Rabbi Boris?
Mm, or not Boris, no, Rabbi Eli is
Rabbi here. Eli, yeah. Eli Erb.
Yeah, you know him?
Yeah, so he was at a seminary. He went to the same seminary.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was ordained a few years after, but yeah, definitely let him know that we spoke, yeah. And sent him my good wishes.
Oh, that's
and
so lovely. He after I broke my ankles, I don't know if you heard about that. I broke both of my ankles rock climbing, so I'm in a wheelchair right now.
Oh my gosh!
Rabbi Eli was so lovely and said some prayers and said my name for the Misha Berach and everything. And turns out my partner Zach. He teaches before and after school care, and Rabbi Eli, his son, is taught by Zach.
Yeah, what's his son's name? Heschel or Rashi?
I don't remember. Oh, gosh.
He has a crazy cool name, that kid.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's so cool. I'm so glad you know him. He's a lovely
human
too.
Yeah, so he's, you know, out of a similar hashkafah, similar, you know, worldview. You know, you can probably tell because we're different types of rabbis than,
yeah.
You know, most. So I'm so glad that you're with him. He's such a sweetheart.
Me too.
Wow. Oh, Mara, I'm sending you a giant hug. And please, like, if you can, send me the recording and definitely send me your paper. And oh my goodness.
Of course.
Excited to hear what you come up with.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day for me.
Oh, it's like the best part.
Well, good.
It's really a joy.
Good.
All right, all the best. Big hugs.
You too.
And come back and see us. Let's go for a cup of tea.
I'll be there over winter.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, definitely
school
come
ends
say hi.
In about a week, so.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, take good care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.